Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I'm talking about real insurrections, like what's happening over in Kazakhstan right
now.
Oh,
yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I mean, perfectly timed, too, considering it is now January 6th as we are performing this particular episode of Free Talk Live, and of course, there's a bunch of news in the United States about the insurrection, talking about what happened last year when a bunch of unauthorized tourists went through the Capitol building and somebody took, you know, a few people took a few unauthorized souvenirs, basically. Oh, and one lady got shot to death by the cops.
The cop, yeah.
So there are some ridiculous quotes coming out of the United States government goons. I definitely want to share some of those with you. Now, I have not dug deep on this topic at all. I just happened to see, just skim a couple off the surface that happened to come by me, and they are absolutely insanely ridiculous. So we'll get into that. And then also Kazakhstan. We need to talk about that because, like I said, perfectly timed, literally like 24 hours before the 6th, there's an actual insurrection where they're literally lighting the Capitol building on fire and the government goons like have resigned.
That's
in Kazakhstan.
Except the president for some reason.
And it's all over the gas prices. So gas prices doubled. People took to the streets and said, "We've had it." And
it's
of course,
good,
you know, qui bono, who benefits? The state benefits from this. They get to gin all this up as though it's some sort of big, scary event.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're definitely the group of people that care the most about what happened on January 6th is the government itself.
Yeah, and they're going to use it
to... The government's the one that started this. They did this against themselves. Like I say, when Trump's down there speaking, these guys were the one... I mean, it only starts with 6 to 10 guys taking out barricades and pushing over some things and things like that. And 60-year-old Ray Epps, he's too old to do that stuff. So he had his little 25, 30-year-old guys that he was whispering in the ears of and telling them what to do. And a lot of these guys had earpieces in, too, so they were getting orders. This thing was run from lots of different sides, lots of different angles. Nobody really kind of knew each other, but it's very interesting to look back because it's all in it's not like 9/11 or whatever where you have to go on different people's footage. Mm-hmm. These are people on the ground that they amassed all their footage. This is all in plain sight. This stuff is not hard. It's not hard at all.
Yeah, it's 20 years since 2011, so more people have smartphones to have footage of what was happening.
That's true. We definitely have to talk about Kazakhstan because you want to talk about a real insurrection where there's actual real consequences for the government goons. That's happening in Kazakhstan. Three police officers have been beheaded in Kazakhstan. The capital has been set on fire.
Somebody gets
in
it.
In Kazakhstan. So, you know, that's a real insurrection. What happened in the United States was at best an unauthorized tour, and arguably it was authorized because apparently people just, you know, government agents just opened up the doors to the place and beckoned people in. And I'm not saying apparently because that's what someone told me. I saw a video of it last year. I saw a video of it. What was obviously like a side door. Some agent in the Capitol building just opens the thing up and just holds the door open as people stream in.
Yeah, you know, and I remember seeing like, I remember this one Capitol cop, a black guy, and he's like, he was running away from the mob, but it almost looked like he was doing it in jest. You know,
like exaggerated.
Like, yeah, it was like, you know, oh, here they come, and he was like running away. You know, it didn't look like he was at all scared.
Yeah,
you know,
and why should he be? I mean, it was essentially an unarmed group of people who, I mean, they didn't even set fire to the building. You know, you're not dealing with a serious insurrection unless somebody at least tries.
Most people, especially on the quote-unquote left, I think they're just politically illiterate and they don't really know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going along. It's like, why are there so many gay people who are registered Democrat? That makes absolutely no sense. They should be absolutely for freedom. That's an oppressed class if there ever was one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a spit upon class for centuries.
Well, isn't it because the left typically panders to them?
That's,
you know,
it.
They talk about their freedoms. And they talk about equality.
And nobody panders like the political elite of the left. Mm-hmm. They have got that down to an absolute science. And I don't know if it has to do with the pandering. Like, gay people have never been offered money or anything like that. Or,
no, it's
or
just a promise of equality. It's a promise of fair treatment.
And it's not something that can be, that's not a promise that can be really delivered on by government.
Yeah. You know?
Well, but they got marriage. So, like, that's a thing that they can point to. Oh,
kinda,
see,
yeah.
We let you guys get into a contract with the government, too.
Yeah, we let you get into the contract. You know, that should be all that needs to be said right there. I mean,
it's a raw deal, for sure, but it's just all they, that's all they
it
got.
Doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah, you guys can go and die for us now in the military.
Yeah, oh,
see?
Yeah, great.
Equality.
High five. Way to go. Yeah, equality.
They want you to remember this as though it were tantamount to, according to Kamala Harris... Tantamount to Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor.
And 9/11. Events on which, need I remind you, thousands of people were, you know, put to death.
Or jumping out of 20-story windows.
Yeah.
It just goes to show how little value she puts on
those people.
Those people.
Hmm. 20,000, yeah. It's almost 3,000 deaths to her is equal to scaring some politicians, but not even killing one.
Yeah, some politicians had to huddle down, or they felt so frightened about this unauthorized tour that they truly believed that their lives were in jeopardy, even though not a single one of them was harmed in any way, shape, or form during this particular event. No one was taken hostage. No one was even threatened. No one pointed a weapon at any politicians. Weapons were pointed at the people who were taking this particular unauthorized tour. One lady was shot to death.
Was she a school teacher or something like that?
I don't know. Ashley Babbitt, I think, was her name, but I don't know a whole lot about her background. I'm sure there are a lot of people who've done a lot of research and talking about her today and back then.
She was a very non-frightening person at any rate.
She didn't threaten the cops. Nope. She didn't hurt a cop. And the cop basically was trigger happy, the one that I understand... as I understand it, the one that shot her to death. Didn't need to, but he did it. Did it, and, he's going to get away with it.
America does not yet know just how close we, the members here in this room today, our nation, and our democracy, came to our demise that terrifying day.
Damn it! I mean, I'm not wishing harm on these people, but she's talking about democracy.
Yeah, democracy.
Coming to an end. Really? Democracy was about to be destroyed on January 6th, 2021? Yeah. It was that, like a threadbare, level closeness?
Just dangling by a thread.
And really? I wasn't even paying attention to what was going on because it was so dumb.
So basically what she's saying is if it was really a real insurrection, if people actually burned the Capitol building down, that would have been the end of the federal government? Is that all it really takes?
You know, but it doesn't. The thing is, it doesn't matter if anybody believes this because it's patently idiotic. Like, literally, this is unbelievable. Anybody who's looking at it, nobody thinks that lady's life was ever at under any kind of threat, right? She doesn't think it either. This is all an act. They know it's an act. They're going to pump it out to the public as though it's real. And
but that's all they have to
keep
do.
Keep saying it. They're going to keep saying
that's
it.
That's the rules of propaganda. You just keep telling the same lie over and over again.
Propaganda.
And that's the thing. I mean, how many people
look
paid
how many
attention?
Of them are involved with it? Like, they're all in on it.
And remember, the guy is going on and on about the big lies being spread by a former president and his supporters. The big lies, the big lies. And all through the speech, he's repeating one big lie about this threat to our democracy when the founding fathers did not establish a democracy. They established a federal republic. And
does it really matter, though? I mean, this is a point that we used to make on the air on Free Talk. Like in the early days of Free Talk Live, we made that point. Well, it's not a democracy. It's a republic.
Constitutional republic.
What does it really matter? I mean, in a republic, people elect these goons.
Well, I think it does matter only because that's the term that they want people to focus on because it's something most people think, oh, yeah, that's a kind of good idea. So they can now protect the government. They're like, I like the word democracy. They don't like the word republic because Republican. Hmm. We like democracy and we want to protect the government.
Yeah. And see, the problem is that people who are wise and educated on these points are being turned off by the speech because they know the difference. And I think that libertarians not only should be allowed in the campaign debates and the presidential debates, they should get more time so that they can rebut lies like that one. And it takes longer to say what the United States really is. And remember, the guy is going on and on about the big lies being spread by a former president and his supporters. The big lies, the big lies. And all through the speech, he's repeating one big lie about this threat to our democracy when the founding fathers did not establish a democracy. They established a federal republic, you know, and it's a
Does it really matter, though? I mean, this is a point that we used to make on the air on Free Talk. Like in the early days of Free Talk Live, we made that point. Well, it's not a democracy. It's a republic.
Constitutional republic.
What's the, what does it really matter? I mean, in a republic, people elect these goons.
Well, I think it does matter only because that's the term that they want people to focus on because it's something all most people think, oh, yeah, that's a kind of good idea, so they can now protect the government. They're like, I like the word democracy. They don't like the word republic because Republican. Hmm. We like democracy, and we want to protect the government.
Yeah. And see, the problem is that people who are wise and educated on these points are being turned off by the speech because they know the difference. And I think that libertarians not only should be allowed in the campaign debates and the presidential debates, they should get more time so that they can rebut lies like that one. And it takes longer to say what the United States really is.
Well, I mean, ultimately, the whole election controversy is completely meaningless. I mean, because it's just another distraction. Okay, you guys get all upset because somebody, quote unquote, stole the election. Well, even if Trump had won the election, nothing different would have really happened.
Nope.
Trump would have been pushing the vaccines. Mm-hmm. They would have rolled out the third vaccine with a booster, and the whole thing would have gone down. Now, whether or not the liberals would have stayed anti-vax in that situation is an interesting question, because you can go back to 2020 and find quotes from leftists who were all about, I'm not taking no Trump vaccine. And then, of course, as soon as the label got changed to Biden on the vaccine, then it's like, I'm rolling up my sleeve. Give me five of them. And so, you know, maybe they wouldn't have. It would have been interesting to see how that version of reality would have played out. But you know, ultimately, you would still see, I think, basically the same crap that's going on.
I agree. But I think that every presidential election has been selected by the feds. So it's just interesting that, you know, when people are actually like, hey, we think something went wrong there, because
I
don't believe that Joe Biden won the election. I drove all over the country in 2020. I drove from Las Vegas to San Antonio, and I drove from San Antonio to Maine, and I just don't believe that Joe Biden had more supporters than Donald Trump.
Are you one of the people who believe that Trump was somehow not chosen to win? Because if you believe that there's somebody who's
a puppet
master...
No, I think he was chosen to win in 2016.
Okay.
Have you guys heard about House Bill 1189?
I have not. I mean, not by number, at least. What does it do?
Well, I've been trying to ask state reps for years if they would propose a simple bill, pretty much the same idea as an article I wrote about in 2018. I started writing about the concept of voluntarily funding the government, making government gangs raise money voluntarily without coercion, like us humans have to raise money. We can't put a gun to people's face. You have to convince them to donate to us by giving them value in exchange.
Yeah.
But I don't force people to buy my books. I ask them if they want to buy them, and if they do, they do. If they don't, I don't put the gun to their head. You know, they can buy my books or not.
Yeah, that would be an amazing change. I mean, I've been saying that for years here as well. Like let's make the property tax a voluntary bill, and if you like the police department, you can send them a check. Or if you appreciate the road crew, then send them some money, or at least, you know, have some boxes that you can check on the tax bill saying, here's what I want my money to go towards, or something like that.
I asked a lot of reps, and I must have asked Julia Sodi, a great Liberty rep from Wyndham. I must have asked him a while ago, because a few months ago at a meeting, he told me that he is looking to propose a bill, and he did propose House Bill 1189. And Mike Yakubovich, who's one of my state reps, and Mark Warden, who I'm sure you know, signed on as co-sponsors. So
all
now
we
have three sponsors, and I think it could pass. It's a very simple bill. Julius Sodi was thinking of like a GoFundMe type thing, but I was thinking of it as more of an advertising type thing, because GoFundMe, you know, it kind of implies that people would want to give money to the government.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
For instance, our town has a few hundred vehicles, I think, like, you know, dozens, maybe a few hundred vehicles, a few buildings that we own, the town, the schools. Well, the outside of every building is a billboard, right? It's seen by people, meaning it's a billboard. All of the police cars that are driving around all day, the fire department trucks, all of our municipal trucks for public works, they're all rolling billboards. That's what we say in the ambulance industry. You're a rolling billboard, everyone sees you. So I'm sure they can raise $18 million, which is our town budget. And the state for $3 billion or $6 billion, or the whole state budget of $6 billion, half comes from D.C. Once we leave D.C., you know, even raising $6 billion is very easy. The state owns, what, thousands of buildings and vehicles? They're all billboards. If I gave you thousands of billboards, couldn't you raise $6 billion a year? Very easily, right? So this at least starts getting that process going. It's probably legal now, but this bill clarifies and encourages mm-hmm. the state and municipalities to do this. So it's not a very radical bill, I don't think. It's got three Republican sponsors. They're in the majority. It's not very radical. It just doesn't change anything, but it allows and clarifies and encourages state and city governments to be able to accept more money from donations and recognize the donors. So it's not very radical. So hopefully it can pass. That being said, if it does pass, you know, we could also say it's the first step to phasing out taxation, mandatory taxation, right? So in a sense, it's radical, but it's not a very radical bill.
I dare say, I think I speak for the whole studio when I think we all support the idea of New Hampshire independence. Am I right about that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, amazingly, there has been a bill filed by some state representatives. In fact, I believe seven state representatives filed Bill CACR 32, as it is called. No, it's not an HB because it's not a true House bill, because this is actually a proposed constitutional amendment here in New Hampshire, which the process for that is that 3/5 or 60% of the state House and state Senate have to vote for this in order for it to be placed on the ballot in 2022. And then 2/3 of the voters would then have to vote for it in order for it to pass. And in this particular case, it would result in the immediate declaration of independence, a peaceful independence for New Hampshire leaving the United States. And it wouldn't be we're just thinking about it. It'd be we're saying goodbye. See ya. It's over. And Alu, you've been...
It's not us, it's you.
Yeah, you've been keeping an eye on this pretty close over there at libertyblock.com, and you were the first person to actually catch wind of the hearing date that is going to be for this bill, because every bill gets a hearing, a public hearing in New Hampshire, which is one of the reasons why this is such a historic occasion. You know, and Aria suggested that maybe something like this might have happened back in Civil War times, but since then... there has not been something like this. In our lifetimes, there's never nope. been the opportunity for the people to actually speak on the record publicly in favor or against secession. Presuming that the state reps do not gut this bill in some way or, quote unquote, lay it on the table, mm-hmm. basically make it a dead letter. You know, there are some dirty tricks that they could try to pull. But as Alu Axelman points out, if we pack the chamber full of people, if there are dozens or over 100, maybe a few hundred people that show up to this thing on January 20th in New Hampshire, it's going to put some serious pressure on these politicians. Mm-hmm. Politicians, you got to understand, these people want to be liked. They really, really want people to like them, especially the local New Hampshire state rep politicians. They literally are the most representative body in the United States as far as politics is concerned. I don't buy the scam of representation. I don't believe that for a moment. I think that's a joke.
It doesn't make sense that one person can represent the opinion of, what is it, 30,000 people in New
Hampshire? It's only about 3,000.
Oh, yeah. 3,000. That's crazy.
No, you can't represent the opinions of two people, let alone yeah. you know, right. 3,000 or 300 or whatever. But as far as the number of people that they quote-unquote represent in New Hampshire, it's very, very small. It's, you know, 400 state reps into 1.3, 1.4 million people. You do the math, and it's only a few thousand per representative district. You run into these people. You know, if you're going to the grocery store, the person who is your quote-unquote representative, there's a good chance that they're in that same grocery store or they shop there. Kazakhstan. We need to get into this story because it's pretty wild. What caught my attention yesterday was the fact that their Capitol building was set ablaze. And you know, that's going to catch anybody's attention. And apparently caught the government of Kazakhstan's attention because they resigned on Wednesday, as according to TheHill.com, demonstrators set fire.
Is that true, though? Because I've been hearing that they've been calling for the president to step down. So how did the whole government resign, but yet there's still a president?
Well, maybe the president didn't resign. I don't know. I mean, I don't have all the details, but I'll share with what they have at The Hill. And then we'll get into more on it from The Sun. But they are protesting rising fuel prices and the political hold of former President Nursultan Nazarbayev. Videos throughout the country showed protesters yelling, "Old man, go away!" And gunshots were heard while public buildings were burned in the city of Almaty, according to Reuters. All cabinet members resigned in response to the outburst, but protesters still left a path of destruction. Police were seen using water cannons and stun grenades against the demonstrators.
Old man, go away is a very relatable phrase.
The protests were triggered by a spike in fuel prices and the three-decade rule of Nazarbayev, who still has control over his party and is in charge of the Security Council. One video shows protesters outside a hospital forming a human shield, apparently angry that wounded police were getting priority over demonstrators. They demanded, quote, "no treatment for cops," unquote. And that is going a lot farther than just some peaceful protests
and
you know, people chanting things.
I'm surprised they're being that direct about it. I mean, I'm surprised there are people out there who understand that police are the protectors of the ruling class that are affecting them. Police are the ones that are actually doing the attacking on the behalf of the ruling class.
It seems a lot more direct oppression in their countries. I mean,
sure.
It is direct oppression in our country. Like I said earlier, it's just as bad, but they are so more sly about hiding it. That in Kazakhstan, the old president that they don't like picked the president that they have now.
Yeah, so the corruption is more blatant, and that is going to create a different response for sure. They don't.
These people are comfortable in America.
Yes, there is that too.
Corruption's pretty blatant here too.
Well, to people who are looking.
Yeah, that's true. You do have to be paying attention, and that's why the media, I think, and all their coverage of this January 6th quote-unquote insurrection is still working on people, because there's people that just don't know what the truth is. They've never looked into it themselves.
We're just surrounded by idiots. Yeah, they've got to be surrounded by morons.
They just believe whatever it is that the people on the news say. Tanks rolled in from neighboring Russia, and I presume other places will be coming to bear with their violence to try to stop the people from actually taking back control of their land.
I'm sorry, if some foreign country ever rolled up in here to keep the peace, I would have a really hard time standing for that.
Yeah, well, I don't think these people are going to stand for it either. I mean, they're apparently killing cops in the streets, or at least that's what the government wants you to believe. According to the story here at The Sun, the-sun.com, the country has seen pent-up resentment over low wages and poverty and the enrichment of a narrow elite controlling the government and Kazakhstan's oil and gas reserves. Last night, a statue of former autocrat Nursultan Nazarbayev was toppled by an angry mob. Nazarbayev, 81, yesterday gave up his final role in overall charge of security. Rumors suggest he may have fled to China or Russia, which is always what you see in these situations. Wherever there is like an uprising by the people, whether it be the Arab Spring or, you know, you name it, whatever it is we're talking about, the evil dictator, if they're not caught up in the actual blaze of the Capitol building burning to the ground, they themselves will, you know, grab the nearest helicopter and get out of there.
And they're out of there. Yeah. They're going to have shelter somewhere.
So they roll up on a beach in Thailand or Brazil or something like that.
They got it made.
Presumably, at some point, the internet is going to come back to Kazakhstan. It's hard to imagine that a country would be left in the dark forever as far as internet service is concerned. So it would be interesting to see how long this lasts.
Yeah, but if I was a crypto miner in Kazakhstan, I'd move now.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of them are packing up shop as we speak, because you can't be in the crypto mining business.
Russia's invading your country.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you certainly don't want tanks rolling through your shop. But secondly, if you don't have internet, you don't have a business.
Right.
So just pack it up and move.
Which is actually more proof of how well capitalism works, because people are just going to move where their business can succeed,
where it's welcome.
Where it's welcome, yeah. And so if these guys can't get the job done, and it's important for the network too. So I mean, the crypto has to have miners. You cannot have crypto without miners.
Correct.
And these guys are going to go where they can mine.
Top mining pools had lost an average of 10% of their hash rate over 24 hours as of 6 a.m. UTC, according to data from BTC.com, which has a mining pool. Their hash rate measures computing power, which is, you know, the total amount of hardware that's cranking away on the Bitcoin network. It got dropped 10% after Kazakhstan's remaining government threw the switch and turned off the internet. I mean, the fact that the government can just order that to happen.
Yeah, they just hit a switch and it shuts off.
Is really scary.
Sure.
That takes us into a story, Bonnie, that you've been wanting to talk about this evening, which is something called Internet dead internet theory?
Yes, it's dead internet theory.
And what is that all about? You were telling me a little bit of it last night, but we didn't really get deep into it.
Well, I wanted to bring this story in because I just think it's something that I've always had a suspicion about, and I've alluded to it several times on the show, but not very eloquently because I didn't have anything to point at, just little observations I've made without, you know, taking notes while being on the internet have pointed me in the direction of there are people out there, maybe AI, maybe not even people, who just post and post and keep posting the same opinions until the humans that are on the internet agree with it. And that's not exactly what dead internet theory is, but the dead internet theory is that AI now controls more of the internet, or, you know, has more internet accounts, but yeah, presence than real humans, and that the internet is dead and has been for 5 years, since 2017.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.